The Church Media Podcast, episode 131, How to Teach Your Team to Study the Bible for Themselves, with David Arthur. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast,
the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world.
Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now at the Church Media Podcast.com. And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Welcome to the podcast. We're glad you're here. Guys, this week we have an incredible interview that I can't wait to share with you. The CEO of Preset Ministries International, David Arthur, will be joining me. You might know David's mom, Kay Arthur, who is an internationally known Bible teacher. Kay has written literally hundreds of books and Bible studies and has taught people all around the world how to study God's Word for themselves. I had the privilege of directing and producing Kay's television and radio program for several years, and David took over the ministry from his parents a few years ago. You might be thinking, what does Precept have to do with church media, where we're all about helping you transform your worship experiences and build solid media production teams, and pastoring your people is and should be your number one priority. So helping your volunteers grow spiritually should be essential. David is going to share how you can teach your volunteers how to study the Bible for themselves and give you some resources that you can use with your team to help them grow in their walk with Christ. It's all coming up.
We have an interesting tradition at our house. On Mother's Day, she goes out and she buys gifts for the kids. Well, one Mother's Day, Chelsea says to me, I want to get the kids smartphones, all of them. I said, okay, let's do it. Let's get the kids smartphones. I mean, what could be simpler? And what could possibly go wrong?
Then I saw a story on the news of what happened to a man named Tim Woda and his son.
There was this grown man who was soliciting my child. And I said, where'd you meet this person? He said, I met this person on Facebook. I said, well, that's not possible because you don't have a Facebook account. He had this whole digital life that I'd had no idea it even existed.
I decided I needed to get to the bottom of understanding how technology and my kids were interacting.
Unfortunately, a lot of parents are saying, just do whatever you want.
50% of kids feel they're addicted to their social media.
Yeah, if you're a kid with a smartphone, you could look up anything you want.
It's a free-for-all. You can look at pornography. There's constant reinforcement, pings, tings, new friends.
I got to create my life the way I want it to be seen. It wasn't my true reality.
My daughter has tons of Instagram friends, but she has no friends.
They're more like strangers that have been identified.
They call it like fatty. You're just so dumb. The words they start giving you is the words you believe.
That becomes their life, their social media world. But that world can be quickly upended.
I had a gun at my head.
If we don't help our kids by preparing them for this world, then who will?
Jesus, I'm the door. Nobody gets to the sheep except through me.
It's never too late.
There's never been a generation like it. We're blazing a new trail. We are the pioneer parents.
If the devil wants to come knocking on my door looking for my children, he's gonna find out real quick he came to the wrong house.
Okay, maybe that was a little over the top.
Kirk Cameron's Connect, in theaters for two nights only, February 27th and March 1st. This is an exclusive interview from the Ministry of 1230 Media. Here is Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
David Arthur is the CEO of Precept Ministries International in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Prior to his role at Precept, David worked in the business world with IBM and small businesses. Starting in 1999, David worked several years as a pastor in several denominations, including the Presbyterian Church of America and the Associate Reform Presbyterian Church. Just before coming to Precept, he was vice president with Generous Giving, working with givers and pastors. David holds a bachelor's degree in organizational management from Covenant College and a master's of arts in theological studies from Reformed Theological Seminary. I also had the privilege of working with David for a few years at Precept. Enjoyed my time there. David, thank you so much for hanging out with me, man.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice again, Carl.
Absolutely, dude. Now, let's start with Precept. Tell me about it. Tell our audience about it for those who don't know about the ministry.
Sure. We are a non-denominational organization, a nonprofit, started in 1970 with the sole purpose of establishing people in God's Word. And we do that simply through training and through Bible study materials. We reach all denominations. We reach all age groups. We have children's studies all the way to seminary-level type courses. We're also an international organization in serving today in 180 countries and over 70 languages.
That's awesome, man. And you guys have grown tremendously over the years. What is like the one place internationally that you're like, I cannot believe Precept is all the way in?
Yeah, I just read a report this morning from Laos.
Wow.
So Laos is probably not on your bucket list to go visit. It's kind of near Vietnam,
yeah.
Communist Asian country, and we just had our first graduation of a three-year institute where we raise up Bible study trainers in their natural language, in native language. And so I just read reports from that. It's beautiful. Wonderful.
That's awesome, man. Now, you served as a pastor in your career, so I know that you can really speak to what goes into a Sunday, what goes into worship experiences and teaching a congregation, that sort of thing. So our podcast is all about helping folks who make Sunday happen, especially from the technical media side. And one thing I'm big on is, especially from that side, is we have to pastor our people first, no matter if we're pushing buttons or moving faders.
Yep.
It's all about people.
Amen.
And so that's one reason I want to bring guys like you in, is to talk about how can we pastor well, and how can we help our teams grow spiritually. So one major thing that you can talk about that I want to talk through is how to teach people how to study the Bible for themselves.
Yeah,
one
of my favorite subjects.
Set us up here. How can we do that? Tell me about inductive study method and all that.
Okay, so before I start, let me tell you a funny story if I can quickly.
Yeah.
So I once was a pastor in this church in South Carolina, and I was the number two guy on about six pastor staff, large Presbyterian church. And the senior pastor at the time did not believe in sound men. So there was not anybody on staff that was in charge of the soundboards. Instead, he would personally set the settings and then lock it up and just pretend everything would go well. So every Monday we would have these long debates about, come on, Pastor, we need to get somebody to run the sound. It was horrible halfway through the service. And every Monday, no, we don't need that. Well, one Sunday, we're sitting up in the robing room. This is a room where you put on your robes, your preaching robes, and we had our mics on, and of course, nobody's manning, muting or unmuting the microphones. You had to do that yourself. Well, he had left his microphone on, and this guy said, can you believe that so-and-so's at church today? And starts talking about this guy out in the sanctuary, right, just sitting there, and everybody can hear it in the whole church.
Man.
And all of a sudden, up the stairs comes one of the custodians, shouting out the pastor's name. Thank heavens, because it was real clear that it wasn't me talking. And they can hear you on the microphone, Pastor.
Oh, my goodness.
So I love sound men.
We've all been there. My worst scenarios are at weddings and places leaving hot mics on. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I'm always scared I'm going to go in the restroom and forget.
I know. You check your zipper and the mic. That's the two things the pastors check before they walk out.
That's right.
All right, get us started.
So Precept, inductive Bible study. We didn't invent it. We've just made it very accessible over the past 47 years for the lay user to use. Inductive Bible study is simply letting the Bible be your primary source as you study. In other words, We teach you how to dig out, interrogate, observe, interpret, and apply the text yourself before going to commentaries and other teachings. Not that those are wrong, but they have their place in the order. So what we do is we want you to study first, observing the text by marking keywords, and then simply interrogating the text. And we call this asking the five W's and the H: who, what, when, where, why, and how. And it's just much like an investigative reporter. You know, you go to the scene of the crime and you ask a bunch of questions of the interview because you want to understand who was here, why was this, where was this, when was that. So you ask those kind of questions of the text, and then once you've done that, once you build your foundation of observation, seeing what does the text say, not say to me or say to you, but what does it literally say, focusing on the obvious, then we move into interpretation. Interpretation honestly flows out of careful observation. Interpretation, one of the key factors we teach there is understanding context, the verses above, the verses below. And so you understand a verse in its natural context in which you find it in the scripture, instead of pulling it out and making it say all kinds of things. And then, of course, with careful observation comes accurate interpretation. Then comes out effective application, and that's just literally saying, "All right, Lord, how do I need to take these truths that I've just studied for myself, and how do I apply them to my life, and my circumstance, and my situation?" So we do that with. We do it in books of the Bible. We do it in topics, all kinds of topics. We have a whole series, a whole topical series called the 40-minute series, which we call it that because it takes 40 minutes per lesson, all designed to get folks to discuss the text and then to gather, reason through how does this apply to our lives. So when we talk about inductive Bible study, we have all kinds of resources. We have some of the basic ones where you start are How to Study Your Bible. We've sold a couple million of those over the years. That's a great, good starting point. We have another one called Lord, Teach Me to Study the Bible in 28 Days, which is a real organic way to learn how to study over a period of a month. We walk you through different types of text, Old Testament, New Testament, prophetic text as well, and walk you through the simple steps. And so we teach you a method, then you go work it out and you try it out. We teach you another method and you go try it out. So it's a very hands-on, quickly to get using type methodology.
So I want to drill down each of those with a little bit more specifics here in a minute. But let me ask you this, and this may sound like an obvious question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Mm-hmm. Who is inductive Bible study for?
If you can read, it's for you. So it's inductive Bible study is not an academic, seminary-level type thing. We teach 6-7-year-olds how to do inductive Bible study. So it's not a method, again, not a method precept created. It's been around for a long, long time. I'd say all the way back to the ancient Greeks would use this method. But precept has come along and simplified the process and made it really accessible to the everyday user of the Bible.
That's what I was getting at, is you don't have to have a seminary degree.
Mm-mm.
You don't have, so if I'm talking to a tech leader, you don't have mm-hmm. to, be a pastor on staff. You don't have to go to seminary or anything like that. This is something that you can do with your team.
Exactly.
This is something
exactly.
that is really accessible to you and to them.
And it's our courses are designed so that you as the leader is not set up as the authority.
Good.
You're not set up as a teacher. You really are just a co-student who's going to ask the questions and get the conversation going around the text, and we provide that for you. So it's much of our material is designed for just brothers and sisters in Christ to sit around the table and to start talking about some piece of God's Word.
So we'll get into more of your resources, but let me ask you this. So if I use the Precepts resources to know, let me ask it this way. If I know how to study inductively by myself, why do I need Precepts resources? Like, give me the reason why I would use that
sure.
as a guide.
Sure. Sure. It's I wouldn't be hardcore saying you have to have it. But what we found is that the material is what teaches you the methodology. So it's not like it's a simple, easy formula that, oh, now I've got it and I can go study Ezekiel, got it figured out. We use the methodology in writing our questions in our courses. And so you learn, as you use the materials, you learn the method, and it comes ingrained. I will say, you know, after several years of doing it, you'll find that just your time alone in the Word without any material at all changes.
Mm, good. What are some of the benefits? If I study this way, what will I get out of it for myself, or what will be the benefits for myself of studying this way?
Sure. I mean, some of the obvious benefits are is you'll have a better handle on the text. So we like to say that when you finish studying using the precept method, you own the book, meaning that you really get the content of the book. And that's partly, honestly, Carl, because you're going to, in a precept course, you're going to read the book a lot. You're going to repeatedly read it and read it and read it. So one great thing is that the actual content is familiar to you. And so you can ask a precept student, if they've studied the book of the Bible, hey, what's it about? And they should be able to tell you very quickly the overall context of the letter or the book or the narrative that they're studying. Another great benefit is honestly, you are closer to your Lord. Why? Well, because it's His revelation, right? The Word is His idea. It's His design. They are His words, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, that He's breathed out for us. And so when we study and spend a lot of time understanding His revelation, we honestly get to know Him better. So it deepens your relationship with the Lord, not just with the Bible and its content, but with the author Himself. It's much like our relationship with our spouses or our family members. The more we spend time with them, talking to them, listening to them, the more we tend to love them. And the same way with Scripture.
So
I'd say those two things are really two main benefits.
So let's walk through, you walked through these a little bit earlier, but let's walk through observation, interpretation, application in a little bit more detail. So guys have an understanding of, okay, if I go this way, what are some specifics that I'm going to be walking my team through? So okay. let's start with observation. Walk me through some of the things
So what you'll do in a precept course, and of course I can tell you about all the different types of precept course. We have many different types, but generically speaking, when you walk through a precept course, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to read the text, and you're going to read it slowly, and you're going to read it carefully, and so you're not skimming, you're not just trying to get a gist. You're really wanting to put it down in first gear and creep your way across the text. When you do that, you begin to do what we call focusing on the obvious. So what are the obvious things that show up in a book? Well, typically it's people, places, events. And so you'll slow down. You'll begin to know, who is he talking to? Who's he talking about? What is he saying to them? Where is this message happening? Does he answer the why question anywhere in this letter? So, for example, when you see a so that or a because, he's going to be talking about why, a reason, a motive, a purpose. When you see geographical locations, you're gonna slow down. You're gonna mark those typically in a distinct manner. I do a double underline green, and I just mark all my geographical locations. That way, when I'm looking at the text, I can tell, you know, especially in a narrative, in a historical text, I can tell where things are happening and where the author or whoever is speaking, where they're going. You're going to look for things like time phrases, actual, you know, days, weeks, months, or specific events, and you'll mark those. And oftentimes, that's a really good thing to show you the sequence of events, because, you know, sometimes the Bible, Eastern history, is not like Western history, where we start at the beginning and we work our way chronologically towards the end. Eastern history will go back and forth. So it's important that you're watching those time phrases. And so all this we call observation, which is really the foundation for inductive Bible study. It's the hard work. It's the laborious part where you're going to slow down. You're going to mark key words so that you're beginning to see, because a key repeated word is going to then show you the theme or the subjects of that text. So you'll mark those words, you'll go back, you'll take each one, and you'll make a list. So if we're studying 1 Corinthians 13, the famous chapter on love, right? So the key word is going to be love. So you just, okay, what does the text tell me about love? Love is patient. You write that down. Love is kind. You write that down, and so on. So you'd work your way down. By the time you get to the end of just observing, you find out this is a chapter about love, and I now know how love is actually defined. That would be an observation stage in doing that. So that really is, and honestly, that's where a lot of us get sideways, because we rush through our Bible study. You know, life is busy, right? And so I just need to get me some Bible study in so I can get my day going. So I just need a quick fix. And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. God's Word is worth meditating on. It's worth slowing down, contemplating, as Scripture would talk about, you know, those truths. And so we, in observation stage, we're building the foundation of our house. So it's got to be right. It's got to be careful. It's got to be thorough and solid. So then once we have observation, then coming out of that will become the second aspect, which is interpretation. And so interpretation answers the question, what does the text mean? Now, not mean to me, like it means something to David and it means something different to Carl. You know, the Bible is just like us. When we say something, we have a definite meaning. And so we teach in interpretation that as you're reading it and you come across a verse, one of the most famous ones is Philippians 4:13, right? Remember Tim Tebow had it on his underneath his eyes on his football, in his football career. And Philippians 4:13, very familiar passage, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we say, what does that mean? Well, I can do all things. I can score touchdowns. I can be a successful salesman. I can, you know what, I can do anything. As long as I've got Jesus on my side, I can do anything. So we go back to the text and we say, okay, what are the verses above? What are the verses below? We find out Paul says he can be content without much money, without much resources, and he can be content with much more. He says, I've had it both ways. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the all things now is defined by the context, which is about being content with little or with much. So that would show you that the context then helps us to interpret correctly. We have a phrase around here that context is king, K-I-N-G. He rules in interpretation. And so when we're studying, we always want to know what is the context here, and how does it help us interpret what is being said? And then, honestly, as you do that more and more, then God, the Holy Spirit, begins to bring out text and meaning, that you can then apply to your life. And this is typically what I think, Carl, when we say in a Bible study, you know, you read the verse, you go around the circle, and what is it saying to you? I think this is what we mean, is how is that verse stick in my life? How does it apply to what I'm going through? I may be struggling with greed, where you might be struggling with pride or some other thing. And so God's going to, His Spirit's going to use text in a different way in our lives. And so that would be the application aspect of it. So when you have all three of those put together, and we'll walk you through this. You don't have to remember this. You don't have to have it all written down. We'll actually design questions built specifically on that methodology to help our students and our leaders really benefit from their time in the Word.
So walk me through this. If I have bad observation, therefore that leads to bad interpretation and bad application. Now walk me through that.
So my brother-in-law built a house, and he's a young single doctor, and you know, he has more money, he knows what to do with. So he decides he's going to build a big house. And so he builds this big old foundation, and then he wants a big chimney put on it. And so he calls the guy out, and the guy looks at the foundation and said, "Man, I can't put a chimney on this thing." He said, "Why not? Your foundation's out of whack." And sure enough, when it was in, when it was inspected, the guy was, it was raining, and the guy was in a hurry, and he missed some key flaws. My brother had to tear down and out all that foundation, $30,000 worth, before he could start building again. In the same way, in the Bible study, if we aren't careful in our observation, then everything gets messed up from there on. So, for example, there's a passage in Mark at the end of the Gospel of Mark where, you know, they are bitten by poisonous snakes and they don't die. Well, there's a church, a couple of churches near me here in Lookout Mountain, just on the other side of the valley, called Sand Mountain, where they actually bring in copperheads and rattlesnakes into worship service, dancing around with them. And a few years ago, a guy was killed. A pastor was killed, bit by a rattlesnake, and died. you know, so bad observation leads to a crazy interpretation, and that leads to dangerous application.
Yeah.
Prosperity theology would be a great example of that. You know, they've not done their observation work well, and so when they're putting together things in the Old Testament that are speaking actually of a millennial reign or some futuristic eschatological reign upon the return of Christ, and they're saying, "No, that's for me today to now," then they take that bad observation and they then interpret it, say, "You know what? If I'm healthy and wealthy, then I'm holy." And quite the opposite, if I'm not wealthy, then I'm unholy. And well, that application then turns into being very damaging and destructive for the churches that they minister to, because these people are struggling because they're poor or they're sick, and they think that God's cursed them. And their relationship with God is horrible because of that. You know, so bad observation leads to inaccurate interpretation, what leads to damaging application.
So I think you bring up a good point there, and that is if I am studying the Bible inductively for myself, I can easily spot, most of the time, false teaching. Or, I don't know about that. Maybe not necessarily false, but just like, I need to look at that before I'm 100% with you there, Pastor. Not to be... difficult by any means, but talk me through that. Have you experienced that much?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like a bank teller. They don't show them all the different types of counterfeit dollar bills that they found. Instead, they decide to put all their energy into showing them what a true dollar bill looks like. And so when you study inductively, you're owning the text because of the time and energy that you put into it. You're not memorizing outlines. You're not taking different teachers' opinions about it. You're actually digging it out yourself. And so the more time you spend handling God's Word in that way, the more you will notice something that doesn't fit with it. Now, that's not a magic bullet. It doesn't happen overnight, right? That's honestly something that takes a lot of diligence and discipline and years. But the more you do it, the better you can spot, you know, false teaching and, you know, in that.
Yeah. All right. So what is the goal? What is the end goal of inductive study?
Yeah. So the end goal is to be established in God's Word. What I mean by that is not just that I've been exposed to God's Word, that I kind of know a little bit about God's Word, but I've got a really good footing. I've got a really good grip, and it has a really good grip on me in consequence of God's Word. So the goal is not to get a big head, to fill out notebooks, or to have a Bible all marked up with these markings. The goal is a transformed life because of your encounter with the living God and His Word.
Hmm. What would you say to someone who says, maybe a leader that says, "Gosh, that sounds hard. I'm going to have to put some time into that."
Sure.
Talk to me about that.
Sure. I've been thinking about this, Carl, about the kind of folks that you're ministering to. And I was thinking, you know, if you were to ask me, you know, what would you recommend? We've got a study called Living a Life of True Worship. And it's a very easy a simple study. It's 6 lessons long. Each lesson takes about 40 minutes. You don't need to have any kind of training, really. I'd encourage the leader to read the first page of how to use a study in the book. It's a very inexpensive, I think it's a $7, $8 book. And you don't need a Bible next, because the scripture is actually printed in the book. You don't need a bunch of colored pencils or anything like that. It's just, you know, a pen is fine. And what it does is it walks you through worship in the Bible, starting with the tabernacle. And then going to the temple. Don't want to be a spoiler, but at the end you see Jesus represented through all the pieces and the aspects of the tabernacle and the temple. And so thinking about, if I'm on a worship team and my job is to provide great PowerPoints, or my job is to provide excellent quality in sound, I've got a role. I've got a significant role in the experience of God's people on the Lord's Day. So as I think about my role, how do I fit inside this idea of worship? And so I would say, you know, if this is brand new, I'd say start there and just get your crew together. If you've got a crew of 3 or 4 folks, let's say, hey, let's get together either Saturday night or Sunday morning. You know, give yourself an hour beforehand, and let's commit our time together to really serve the body of Christ using our gifts and abilities. And let's do it with this study and give it 6 weeks in a row. And see what you think. But it's not, once you jump into it, you'll find it's not intimidating. We don't drop a bunch of labels around like observation, interpretation, application, that kind of stuff. It just happens. And we've really honed in and developed really good questions around the text, not opinions, not different theological camps. I want to say that too, because I know in my intro you might think I'm a hardcore Reformed Presbyterian, Calvinist, and I'm not. I don't like those labels. We like to serve everybody in the evangelical church. So you'll find our studies are not tied to a specific, theological, corner of the market. Yeah. We try to serve them all. So I would say that would be helpful, for your folks to think, all right, where do I start? Well, David Arthur says, hey, try living a life of true worship, and let's try it together. You don't need any training. Let's just jump in, and you'll find it's a great conversation around the text. You don't have to prepare a lesson. You don't have to teach. All you got to do is be able to read.
That's good.
Good.
Well, man, as we wrap today, we just kind of scratched the surface on inductive study and the resources that you guys provide. But tell me a little bit more about how we can get more information from you guys. How can we find studies in our area, that sort of thing?
Sure. Yeah, so Precept, spelled Precept, .org is our website. And there you'll go to, if you want to find a Bible study in your area or training in your area, you go to the events page. So you just scroll to the bottom of the website, and you'll see right there in the middle, events page. And we've got all kinds of options for you once you click on that to find. So you can type in your city, your state. You can type in if you want to look at some training. We've got different kinds of training available. And all that's easily accessible through our website. So precept.org. And then there's also an 800 number on there. So if you got any questions, please, we've got a team of folks who would love to help you get engaged and can walk you through that process.
Well, man, wrap our time together. I know we've kind of talked a lot about Precept, what you guys provide, but kind of put a bow on the importance of our teams being in the Word for themselves.
Sure. So Moses knows at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses knows his time is up. God has told him, you're not going into the Promised Land. So Moses gets one final shot at the people of God, one last speech. And he gives this beautiful speech about God and the journey that the people have been on with him. But he finishes it this way. In verse 45 to 47, he says, take to heart all these things I'm saying to you. Take to heart is the imagery of take it seriously, sink it deep, put it in your control center, make it vitally important to your life. And then verse 47, he tells you why. He says, for these words, which is what you now know to be the word of God, these words are no empty words. He says, instead, indeed, they are your life. Man, we get a hold of that concept, understanding that God has provided to us his word, literally his word, not our interpretation of his word, but literally the words of our Creator have been preserved for us in the scriptures. And he tells us, take to heart because they're life. They're not for our life. They're not to improve our life or give us the best life ever. They indeed are our life. There's something supernatural about a believer in the Holy Spirit in his time or her time in God's Word together that is foundational and transformational in our journey with the Lord.
Well, man, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you hanging out with me today.
Yes, great. It's good to hear you, Carl. God bless you.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
45 years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee, in a barn, actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know, what is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.
Hope you guys benefited from hearing from David this week. For resources, a transcript, and helpful links to David and Precept Ministries International, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com today.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, I welcome back my good buddy Luke McElroy. Luke is a good friend of mine who runs Orange Thread Media. They're the parent company to Triple Wide Media, Salt Conferences, and others. He has a new book out we're going to chat about called Creative Potential, Principles for Unleashing Your God-Given Calling. He's been working on the book for a few years now. Really great stuff. Always fun when Luke stops by. He worked a concert at the Super Bowl back in February, so we'll get to chat about that as well. So be sure to be here next week for that. I want to thank the Yoda of our show, our producer, David Michael Hyde. His website is davidmichaelhyde.com. And thank you for listening this week. Go out there, guys, and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com. We'll catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.